Good morning. You may have forgotten, but we are in chapter 52 of Yeshayahu, chapter 52, Pasuk Gimel. The theme that we've been dealing with for the last 2 weeks, and we're going to complete it now. The theme that we've been dealing with is the question, can there be redemption without tshuva or not? Is tshuva a necessary factor in the process of geula, of redemption? And of course, as we pointed out, it makes a great difference as to how we look at the period in which we live. In the event that there is no such thing as redemption without repentance, then I don't know what to say about the present state of the Jewish people. So the return to Israel is, well, all right, maybe it's some kind of a passing phase. In the event, however, that there can be, or for that matter, there will be redemption without tshuva, then we are clearly in the middle of that process, a process of redemption that was not necessarily preceded by tshuva. And we started, of course, with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says it's a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says there can only be redemption when it is preceded by tshuva. Tshuva is a condition for geula. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, it's not so. You don't need tshuva for the process of geula to begin. We quoted a Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash Tanchuma says that Rabbi Eliezer at one point seems to have softened his position, and he said, if there will be one city or one person who will do tshuva, I will begin the process of geula. That's quite a statement for Rabbi Eliezer to make. And then we began with Reb Sadia Goyen. We studied the Ramban. The Ramban is the one who says at the end of Parashat HaZinu, he says that Parashat HaZinu, that great song which describes the suffering of the Jewish people throughout history, and then ultimately the return to Eretz Israel, and the fact that v'chiper admoso amo, the earth is going to be a source of atonement for all of the blood of the Jewish people that was spilled throughout history. So the Ramban says, there we are told that there will be redemption, but nowhere does it say in Parashas HaZinu that it is dependent or conditional upon tshuva. We learned Rashi, who says that there is Mevaseret Yerushalayim and there is Raglei Mevaser. One is in the female gender, the other is in the male. And it all goes back to the other great issue that we have dealt with over the last few weeks, where the Talmud tells us that if Israel is worthy, then the redemption will be hastened. Zachu, if they are worthy, Achishema, I will hasten the coming of Mashiach. Lo Zachu, if they are unworthy, Be'ita, it will come in its time. There is a time at which, regardless of our conduct, Geula must come. We just have another few quotations to deal with here. One is the Maharal Prague. That's on page 124. If you don't have it, I'll read it clearly enough so that you know what the Maharal says. The Maharal is dealing with the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Is geula dependent on tshuva? Is redemption dependent on repentance or not? And he says, the decision is like Rabbi Yehoshua. Why does he say that the decision is in favor of Rabbi Yehoshua, who does not require tshuva? Because you will recall, at the end of the Gemara, after there had been the give and take and the dialogue between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, the Gemara says, Shasak Rabbi Eliezer remained silent. And Rabbi Eliezer remaining silent means that he acquiesces to the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua has ultimately proven his point. So the Maharal picks up on that as well, and he says, well, it's clear that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and he makes a very, very, like Rabbi Yehoshua, Good, good, good. But he makes a very powerful statement. The Maharal says, if geula, if redemption is dependent upon tshuva, how can God make any promise of redemption? It means, therefore, just as we talked last week, that tshuva is something that's up to us. You remember we talked about that unusual bracha in Shmoneh Esrei? Harotzeh b'tshuva, all the other brachas in Shmoneh Esrei. It talks about God who forgives, who gives, who blesses the years, who gathers in the exiles, who builds Yerushalayim, who listens to prayer. But there's one thing where he, so to speak, is dependent upon us. Can you imagine? God is dependent upon the Jewish people. Harotzeh b'tshuva, he wants tshuva. Well, he's going to have to wait. Now, if all geula is dependent upon tshuva, the Maharal says, so how can there be all of the promises that God made through the prophets, that there will be geula? How can you promise it? Well, promise is not something that is necessarily in God's hands alone to decide. It depends on how we are going to conduct ourselves. The Vilna Gaon says, this is the next quote, Bechol dor, in every generation yesh kitzim lefi inyan hatshuva v'hazechuyot hamiyuchadot l'oto ador. In every generation there's a possible end of days redemption that is dependent upon the merit, the special merit of that generation. Now when he talks about special merit, I have the feeling that special merit can also mean the suffering of a generation. The suffering of a generation may very well be its special merit, that therefore redemption will come. But then the Vilna Gaon goes on to say, of Kates Akron, the ultimate end, lo tayo the tshuva, is not dependent on tshuva at all, elo bechesed. It's an act of God's grace and kindness. Kemosha Kosev, as it says, the pasuk says, l'ma'ani, l'ma'ani eseh. For my sake, I'm doing it, so to speak. God is saying, I'm not doing it for your sake, I'm doing it for God's sake. That's what I'm doing it. I'm going to bring the geula for my sake. And the fact is, it was in the Haftorah last week of Parashas Parah. It is a recurring theme in Yechezkel, that Yechezkel says, the exile of the Jewish people is a desecration of God's name. And therefore God says, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, to take the place of a heart of stone. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take over the task of bringing us to ultimate tshuva. So we've been already through Rav Sadia Gaon, the Ramban, the Maharal, the Gaon Mivilna, Rabbeinu Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal, says the following. When God wants to bring the geula, he is not concerned about any of our deeds. He will act with his goodness to whomever he chooses. In other words, don't give God advice. Don't tell him what to do. God has a mind of his own. In other words, we may very well think to ourselves, you know, if we're super from, we may very well think to ourselves, what are you talking about? You're going to bring geula for these Jews over here. There's this, there's that. Come on, give me a break. You can't do that. Rav Ben Shem says, don't be my Eitzer Geber. Don't be the one who tells me what to do. I can be good to whom I want and when I want. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Ki Tisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked him the great question, Har'eini et fodecho, show me your honor and your glory. Hodi'eini no et derochecho, please let me know how you conduct yourself in this world. So Hashem's answer to him is, V'chanoti et asher achon, v'richamti et asher arachem, I will be kind to the one whom I want to be kind. I will be merciful to the one whom I want to be merciful. Afal pi she'eino hagun. What Hashem is telling Moshe, even if one is unworthy, don't tell Hashem when to pour out his kindness. You remember, of course, that all of this began a few weeks earlier when we established the historic law in Jewish history that after every period of great suffering, there must be a period of great compassion that follows it, and that this is a law that's built into Jewish history. Zos nechamatenu be the Ramchal says this is our consolation. But it doesn't depend on what we do. He doesn't wait for our merit. Och and vey, it would be for us if God would wait, you know, play a game of chicken. Let's see who's going to blink first, who's going to do tshuva first. Not so. He doesn't wait for our merit. Or maybe if we're not good, he'll just trade us in for some other model of people. I can't for the life of me imagine who he would choose. While how odd of God to choose the Jews, but it would have been much odder for him to choose anybody else. We're not that bad. We're not that bad. Sometimes we're a little nutty, but we're not that bad. You know what? We're pretty good. Elo mipnei hashvua asher nishba lahuteinu b'habrit asher karat. The Ramchal is now, in a sense, echoing the words of the Gaon. He made a promise. He took an oath, God. He made a covenant with us, and he's going to keep it. V'hinei afilu im lo yeschud b'Yisrael. Even if there will be no merit to the Jewish people, kishiagia eit moed, when the time is going to come, hine al kol ponim, under all circumstances, yoshienu vada, he will definitely save us. Ki adon kolhu, he is the master of everyone. V'yacholaso ken kishura, so he can do whatever he wants when he wants to do it. There's a similar idea that is expressed by the Hamik Dovar in the beginning of Shmos, when there's the conversation that takes place between God and Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh. For 7 days Moshe Rabbeinu refuses, and then he tells God, you know, go send somebody else. Like I remember in America there was once the joke, a prospective rabbi is going to send in his candidacy and on his curriculum vitae, he'll say he's a fugitive, he's a murderer, and he stutters. Would you take him? Of course not. You just turned down Moshe Rabbeinu. All right? Okay? So you just turned him down. So the Netziv says, when Moshe says to God, who am I that I should go to Paro? So Hashem tells him, well, you're going to make the decision who I'm going to send to Paro? I will make the decision who I'm going to send to Paro. Don't give me aces. Don't tell me how to bring about Gula. I say that in connection with something else. There was, and maybe there is, still exists an opinion that says, well, through secular Jews, they become the instrument of redemption. What are you talking about? Mechalei Shabbos, this, that. So the Tzitz says, don't tell the Rebbe Shem how to do it. Maybe he would have wanted to have us there to do it, but we weren't around. So he took who was there. Don't tell him how to go about it. And that's exactly what the Maharal is saying, and the Ramchal. There will be. He made a promise. He took an oath, and therefore it's going to come at the time that he chooses, and when he chooses, and in the way that he chooses. And we are not the ones to make any decisions for him. So he's, and then In another place, the Ramchal says, "Ki anachru roim haftachot hanaviim." We see the promises, the guarantees of the prophets, Shehivenu lemalakvar, that we've talked about earlier. Asher heim aptichim shakodesh baruch hu yigalat Yisrael al kol panim afilu b'lo zichut. The prophets say that there are so many psukim that we can take from Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, that there will be redemption. God promised it. Kashi yasir yetzer hara min bnei adam v'yachrichem la'avdol. This is important. It doesn't mean that when the process of redemption is over, we're still going to have the same kind of alienation from Judaism. What we're talking about is the beginning of the process. By the time it's all over, as we've said very often, Yossi Sarid, I always used to think that he was going to learn in Or Sameach, but I think he's going to learn in Yechaveh Das. That's Rabbi Gadya's yeshiva. That's where Yossi Sarid is going to learn. And that's Tshuva Shleima. And Shulamit Aloni is going to be in a Shas girls' school. That's what's going to be at the end. Because ultimately, what's God saying? I'm going to bring Geula for what? I mean, it's supposed to reach a point of Ahoy Hashem Lemelech HaKol HaEretz. God is going to be king over the whole earth. And all the nations are going to come to Har Habayit. All the nations come to Har Habayit today. The only one that doesn't come is us. So I imagine when Yishayahu and Micha say that all of the nations are going to come to Har Habayit, that includes us. All right. I don't know what kind of statement that was, but it was certainly a hashkafa statement. That it will be, because remember, there's a certain ambivalence that we have with regard to Har Habayit. There's a serious ambivalence tonight. I already sat with Rav Avraham Shapira a number of times, and I pressed him on it. There is, of course, a halachic problem. There are those who do go up to Har Habayit because they maintain that there are certain, and it's true that not all of Har Habayit, not all of the Temple Mount, was the place upon which the Beit HaMikdash was built. And there are places where we have sufficient calculation that we know that this was part of the Temple Mount, but not of the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, we can't set foot on that land. That was last week's Sedra, Parashas Torah. Anybody who has been defiled or impure by contact with a dead body, which is all of us, there has to be the process of the ashes of the red heifer before you can go. You can't go up. But to all other parts of Har Habayit, as long as one goes to the mikveh, but over here, even for men who go up to the Har Habayit and go to the mikveh, it has to be with all of the kumras the way a woman goes to the mikveh. Impeccably clean, everything, you know, cutting nails and all of the rest. And under all circumstances, you can go up to Har Habayit, but you also have to wear running shoes. You're not allowed to walk on Har Habayit with leather shoes. All right. So, of course, all of the Rabbanim and Rashiim, and I spoke to Rabbi Avraham Shapira a number of times about it, he said, we can't open up Har Habayit to the masses of Jews because the chances are that most people are not going to take the halachic precautions that are necessary, and therefore what will we have accomplished? We would simply have opened up Klal Yisrael for the possibility of another terrible aveich, and we don't need that. And I understand it. So we're in such a halachic bind. How are we going to make certain that everybody who goes up to Har Habayit is going to prepare themselves halachically and properly? Very good. All right. So what we're saying is the following: we're not talking about ultimate redemption. We're talking, does the process begin, even if there is no tshuva? And I think that we've nearly finished proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that the process can begin even if there's no tshuva. Even though, of course, remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer's definition, if one community does tshuva, that's also considered tshuva enough. There is also a Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha, at the end of Torah, someplace in Yitzchak or Vayelech says that Tshuva can also be defined. The Jew who returns to Eretz Yisrael has already taken the first step in the process of Tshuva. Because Tshuva El Haaretz, returning to Eretz Yisrael, is the first step in Tshuva El Ha'uma, returning to the body, the nation of Klal Yisrael. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I'm only going to give, good that they only have one quote from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but the Or HaChaim, it's throughout Torah. Unbelievable. The Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim ben Atar, it was about 200 years ago that he came on Aliyah. The Perush of the Or HaChaim appears there in every Chumash. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh is a classic Torah Zionist from the beginning of Torah to the end. And here we have only one of them. This is in Parashat Bahar, page 125. If the Master is going to see that the people can no longer bear the suffering, and their sins are overwhelming them, there is no longer any strength. They don't have the strength to suffer the gallus anymore. So they will be, in a sense, sold off until a particular moment in time. It is the time set aside for Geula in her time. And then the Yotza Bayovel, the Shavlach Uzato, when that Jubilee year comes, Jews are going to leave and return. Ki Kates Yeshno? Here is the classic sentence from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The end will come Afilu Yiyu Yisrael Rishoyim Gemudim Chas V'Shalom. The Kates comes even if Jews are absolutely, completely Rishoyim. Now, when we talk about Kates, let's not forget one other note that we have made in this whole shiur, and that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Amar Rav Abba. Rav Abba says, "En l'chokets megula mizu." There is no greater revealed end of time than this. And you know the pasuk in Yecheskel already. You can all quote it in your sleep. Va'atem hore Yisrael. You don't know how thrilled I am. I'm here 19 years. I don't know my Tudat Zehut number. I brought a prescription to the drugstore yesterday, and he says, you know, believe me, Spark Tudat Zehut, can't get it. I give him the number. So he says, wait, there's a number missing. None of numbers. Then I start getting all confused. I say, wait, I ran out to the car, I got my wallet, and I come back in. Not only was I missing a number, I don't know, it must have been, I made up the number. I still don't know. So this morning and last night, I've been walking around on 1537-8524. 1537-8524. I have to remember my phone number, 6518-319. Okay, very good. So I'm thrilled that I don't know my Tudat Zehut number, but I remember a pasuk in Yecheskel.
What's the first one you have?
Well, what? It's 37:6. V'atem hare Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, anpechem titenu, give out your branches, ufer yechem tisu, and carry your fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time that they are, of their return, is coming close. The Gemara says that when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out its fruit in abundance, then you know that the Geula is on the way. Because Eretz Yisrael has remained absolutely faithful to its people for 1900 years. No people has been able to settle this land. We once talked in a shiur a few years ago. In the Tochacha, in the Chukotai, it says, V'shomimu oleha oyevechen, your enemies will be desolate in the land. It's talking about Jews being sent out into exile, and we're going to have to be in Galus who knows how long. V'shamamu aleha ayyavechem, your enemies will be desolate in the land. Rashi says it, the Ramban says it, it comes from the Sifra. Zu v'sura tova l'yisrael, this is good news. No, the Ramban is saying at the end of the Tochacha, at the end of the curse in the Chukotra, he says, I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is that you're going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and you're going to go off into exile. But the good news is, v'shamamu aleha ayyavechem, your enemies are going to be desolate in the land. No people will ever be able to settle the land. And the land is going to wait for you. When Jewish hands are going to begin to work the soil, that's when the land is going to give out its fruit. And the land has indeed remained absolutely faithful, and we are the great witnesses who've seen a land that was incapable of supporting any kind of population can now export food to the world. The Gemara calls this the Kates Megula, the revealed end of days. Anybody who has eyes, do I have to repeat what I said 1,000 times? Say it. If you want to talk to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. Remember once yelling at somebody. I don't know why people start up with me. We were in I don't know, Chippicol, Supercol, Hippicol, Hippinetto, and some guy, you know, he knows what I think, and he starts giving me words. And we were standing in the fruit and vegetable section of the. What does you call Geula? What are you talking about? These Tzionim, these Chiloinim, these Mechalei Shabbos, I said, God Almighty, you're surrounded by tomatoes and apples, and you can say that? What's that you said? You know? And then I threw the pasuk at him quickly. He said, oh, of course, there's no question about it. I think I brought it. There's an amazing sentence from Rav Kook. Exactly what I said. Not me, by the way, not me. The Gemara, the Maral, the Rashi, the Ramban. Yes.
So if they Israel are dead, the Gula will
hasten. That's right. We can be the ones who hasten it, but even if we hasten it not, it will come in its time. There is a letter from Rav Kook, where Rav Kook says the following. This is, they put it in as an introduction to the little sefer that most probably packs an amazing wallop. It's called the Orot HaTshuva. It's not a small sefer. Even if it wouldn't be in this pocket edition, it's still a small sefer. Orot HaTshuva, the light of Tshuva. You're from Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lived there very long. Huh? All right, so I'll tell you about the Orot HaTshuva. In the middle 50s, I learned in Eretz Yisrael. Then after I learned in Eretz Yisrael, I came back to Baltimore. And I had picked up a little safe. You know, I bought a few Svarim in Eretz Yisrael. What does he know? You don't buy it. Svarim? Of course you buy Svarim. There weren't too many people coming to Eretz Yisrael in those days. So there was one safe that I had in my library that was fire engine red. The cover was mamish fire engine red. Bnei Akiva had reprinted the Orot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. It had been out of print for about 10 years and they reprinted it and I got it. Tell you the truth, I never really appreciated it then. Oh, now I do. You know, there's readiness for everything in life, the time for everything. Anyways, I come back to Yeshiva and, long story, anyway, I'm back and, every so often, the Yeshiva of Rudim, the Chatzan of the Rav, used to raid the dorm. So, of course, it was my mazel to get caught in the dorm when I should have been in the Beis Medrash. All right. Anyway, he starts looking through my Sforim, and he sees this fire engine red sefer. He pulls it out and he looks at it, And he tells me, ich nehm das, I'm taking it. I was left with no choice. This was, you know, this was Benny. And he says, you've come out of my house. Yeah, ready. he says, come out of my house and I'll explain. So that evening I went over to his house, and he tells me the following story. I once put this on a paper. The man who was one of the great architects of Torah in the United States of America was Rav Zev Gold. No relation. I've been asked it 10,000 times. Nachum Gold is named after Rav Zev Gold, who was the... One of the lead, he was president, ultimately president of Mizrahi. He was one of the architects of Torah in America. Nobody wants to know about that. He was one of the founders of Yeshiva Torah Vadas, together with another man who most probably truly was the architect of Torah in America, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Or, as he always wanted to be known by his Talmidim, Mr. Mendelowitz. Okay? Mr. Mendelowitz, there's no way to describe his greatness. He was great in every area that one can imagine. He was a great thinker, tremendous thinker. For a Hungarian Jew, the Hungarians said it about him. Extremely broad. He encompassed all of the various areas of Jewish thought, which was highly unusual. You know, most probably for Lithuanian Jews, that was also. This was not an ethnic Pole comment, but he was really the architect of Torah in America. Anyway, he used to occasionally travel in those days, in the 30s we're talking about, 30s and 40s, he would travel to raise money for Torah Vadas. So Rav Ruderman, Rav Shiva Baltimore told me that every time Mr. Mendelowitz would come to Baltimore, he would come visit me. And every time he came and visited, he left $500. Now he's trying to keep Torah Vadas going. $500 in those days was a lot of money. And then he tells me the next thing. I've been looking for that little safer that you have, because I found out from Mr. Mendelowitz, in all of his travels, wherever he went, there was only one safer he always took with him. The Orot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. No other safer. He wouldn't leave home without it. Go tell that to somebody in Torah Vadas today, or in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll laugh you out of the place. What does Rav Kook say here? One of the things that he says is, we are living through a period, Bekorach Hidgalut Nitzotzei Orot. You know, his language is very, very poetic. There is the sparks of light are beginning to be revealed. What light? The light of the day of redemption. Hamid Galel Anu Bechol Eid Beretz Achaim, that is becoming revealed before us in the land of the living. How is it becoming revealed to us? He wrote this 80 years ago, 90 years ago. Al Yidei Keitz Hamigula, it is revealed through the revealed Keitz Shel Hore Yisrael. He looks around and he sees the mountains of Israel, Hane'evodim, that are being worked, the Nizroim, and being planted, Hanosim Trivanov. He rephrases the pasuk, that carry fruits and branches, La'am Hashem, for the people of God, Asher Didoshuhu, that have sought him out. And then he says, Vim Yopo Adam, if a man is going to come, L'chadeish Dvarim Elyonim, if somebody is going to come and give us new insights into what tshuva is all about in this present day, he's not going to look, or he's not going to see the keitz hamigula, the revealed end, and the light of salvation that is beginning to rise, he will never be able to say anything. He will not approach one iota of the truth of Torah. If you try to look at anything in the realm of tshuva or Torah without being aware of the fact that you can see the Kates HaMegula before your very eyes, then you're blind. Then you don't see anything. And therefore you will not be able to write anything that is significant about the idea of tshuva. Not a chance in the world. Because you just don't see what's taking place before your very eyes. And if you don't see it, then not only that will you not see, you're not going to see a lot of other things. And he says the following, he explains it in one sentence. He calls man me'ir betunato. Every period in history has a unique light about it. The Atzat Hashem Asher Ya'atz, the counsel of God that he has advised, Lohachel Or Gu'ula, to begin the light of redemption, Mu'ulefet B'matmonei Nistadim, and it seems to be camouflaged in secret, K'moshon Uron Be'inenu, as we see with our very eyes. And he said this long before there was an establishment of the state of Israel. He already saw it. And he saw it in a tomato. That's where he saw it. He saw the Kates HaMegula. The Gemara says this. K'moshon Uron Be'inenu, U'mukefet, but he understands that this light that is beginning to rise is surrounded by hamon nigaim. There are a lot of blemishes. It's not a perfect perfect period, but there's a light that's beginning to rise. It is surrounded by many blemishes. Shel aniyei da'at. What is it suffering from? People who have a poverty of mind. Sovlei chaloyim ruchanim. People who suffer from spiritual ailment. And therefore, if you can't see what's going on, nothing is going to help you achieve anything that approaches truth. All right, there's so much more. If I'm going to this, I'll never get back to Yishayahu. I begin to fly. All right, anyway, that's the Orot HaTshuva. That's the Kates HaMegula. We're going to end with the Chafetz Chaim and then back to a few psukim in Yishayahu. The Chafetz Chaim says the following. U'mikomakim yesh zman katzuv l'gulatenu. There is a set time for our redemption, and that's the time of Bi'ita, in her time. Shehu afil lo zohu klal, even if Israel is totally unworthy. U'levadzeh, this is so classic, Chafetz Chaim. It's just like, if you want the whole personality of the Chafetz Chaim, right there in front of you, he says, yes, technically, there's no question about it, that there is a set time for redemption, even if Jews are unworthy. And then all of a sudden he says, come on, can you ever say that Jews are unworthy? you hear the man of the Shmiras Haloshin, the Chafetz Chaim, he says, aside from this, the Vada Yev Shalom came. You can't say that Klal Yisrael doesn't have merit. Perish the thought. Al Klal Yisrael Kasa Shalom, you can say something like that about Klal Yisrael. The Halo Yadua, it's known, that Klal Yisrael came in Torah B'Chalei V'idam. We know that Klal Yisrael fulfills Torah at all time and in every period. Umiyu Chalomar, who is the one that can say, She'en Le Umazu Chas V'Shalom Shom Zchut? Who is it that can say that this nation has no merit? Achetitztarech Lahamtin Al V'Ita. That we have to wait for the proper time. Do you understand what the Chafetz Chaim is saying because of the Shmiras Haloshim? We look around and we take a look and we see, you know, intermarriage assimilation and Chilul Shabbos and Achilas Tefes. And the Chafetz Chaim says, what are you talking about? Klal Yisrael, you're crazy. How can you say that? Klal Yisrael performs mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael is good. Klal Yisrael, you think, is going to have to wait for the appointed time? He's ready to take the step of saying that, you know what? We're worthy that we can bring the Geula before its proper time. His last sentence maybe is more important than anything else. If you live with the idea that we are an unworthy people, so then who knows, somewhere, someday in the future, whenever the time is. But what happens if you see Klal Yisrael as worthy? If you see them as worthy, then it can come any time. then you can really say the animam in the Muna Shlema. You can say it with Kavon, and the Raman says, animam in the Muna Shlema is a Deviyas HaMashiach. That's a halachic statement. It's not just a song. He says a person has to feel a sense of anticipation every day. If you don't feel that sense of anticipation, or you don't at least say it, you have not fulfilled the belief in the coming of the Mashiach. So the Chofetz Chaim is saying, if you're going to tell me that we're an unworthy people, and who knows, someplace at the end of time there will be Gula, that removes the any sense of anticipation. But that's not so. There has to be a sense of anticipation every day. So therefore he says Israel is worthy. They're a great people. I am so happy I learned this with you today. I've been a little down on Klal Yisrael the last few weeks or the last few months, and the Chofetz Chaim has picked me up. What are you talking about? Klal Yisrael is a word. We're a great people. A little nutty, but all told, we're pretty good. If the Chofetz Chaim says it, then it's absolutely realistic. There is nothing more realistic than the way the Chofetz Chaim looks at it. Or, as Rav Kook says, if you don't see the Keitz HaMegula before your very eyes, then you're blind and you can't see anything. Yes, Riva?
Even if we say that we're not worthy, we have to break the Yitzchak. That's also true.
That's also true. But the feeling that I get from the words of the Chofetz Chaim is, in a sense, in our minds, it diminishes the sense of anticipation. The time? Well, maybe it's at the end of 6,000 years. We've got another 240 to go. The sense of anticipation, of daily anticipation, is diminished. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. All right. I'm stopping here. There is another quote down at the bottom of the page, but I don't want to go into that. A quote that says that anybody who thinks that there can be geula without tshuva is a kofer b'Torah. Anybody who thinks that there can be any part of geula without tshuva is a kofer b'Torah. That's at the extreme position in the Jewish world. That certainly means that the Ramban and Rav Sadia Goyen and I'm not going to say. Next, let's go weiter, back into Yeshayahu. Sviya? Sviya? Behave yourself. I'll talk to you after class. All right. Yeshayahu Perek Nun Beis. I at least want to get toward the end of the chapter, because the end of the chapter is going to bring us to the next unit that we will get to after Yom Tov and Yetzer Shana. All of this started because we came to the pasuk Kichom Hashem Nun Beis, chapter 52, pasuk 3, Gimel. Kichom Hashem, so says God, Chinam Nimkatem, you have been given over, sold off into exile for nothing, below the Kesef Tigayelu. You're not going to have to pay for redemption. Redemption is going to come even without tshuva. Kichom Hashem Elokim, so says God, Mitzrayim Yorad Ami Bereishona. To Mitzrayim, my people went down at first, Lav Gurashom, to live there. And all we went down to live there. We didn't do anything wrong. And despite that, we were enslaved. There was no good reason for them to enslave us. By the way, doesn't the prophet sound a little bit like the Haggadah? Vayered Yaakov, he went down Lav Gurashom. Vayered Yaakov went down Lav Gur. Lo Yodad Yaakovinu, we say in the Haggadah, Yaakovinu didn't go down Lishtakeyashom, he didn't go to settle. So the Navi is very careful. He says, we went, you know, to live until period of time will pass. And then Ashur, later on in history, Assyria, Be'efes Ashako, for nothing they robbed us. For what? What did we ever do to Ashur? V'yato, Mali po Noam Hashem. This is what God is going to say toward the end of history. And as I say, remember, when I talk about the end of history, or the beginning of a new history, we may very well be in the middle of that period right now. Mali po Noam Hashem, what do I have over here? Why am I waiting, Rashi says? Why am I waiting? Ki lukach ami chinam, my people have been taken away for nothing. Moshlov yehelilu Noam Hashem, those who rule over him taunt him. And more than that, Rashi also says that they take the theme of Yechezkel every day, Tomid, Kol Hayom, every day my name is despised or rejected. When Israel suffers, there is a chilul, that's the greatest chilul Hashem of all. When Israel is in exile, not in their own promised land, this is chilul Hashem. Lachem, Yeda Amishmi, therefore let my people know my name. And as Rashi points out, when I will redeem them, they're going to know. On that day, they're going to know my name. Ki anihu hamedaber. I am the one who speaks to you. Hineini. Avram said Hineini. Moshe said Hineini. And then there comes the moment when the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Hineini, here I am. Shmuel, you said? Yes. Manavu al ha'adim. What a beautiful pasuk. Manavu al ha'adim. How beautiful it is upon the mountains. Raglei Mevaser. The feet of the one, the Vaser, the one who is going to tell us the good news. Mashmia Shalom, the one who's going to let us hear words of peace. Mevaser Tov, the one who brings the good news. There won't be good news and bad news. It's only going to be good news. Mevaser Tov, Mashmia Yeshua, the one who lets us know that there will be salvation. The Nevi'im, Eliyahu HaNavi. Omer Letzion, do you know what the messenger is going to say? He's going to tell Tzion, Malach Elokoya, your God has become king. You should recall that the Malbim, we talked about this a number of times, that you have to keep in mind, the Malbim says that the term Tzion always denotes the spiritual dimension of Yerushalayim, Harabayit, Mekom HaMikdash, Gedolei Yisrael, the Sanhedrin. Yerushalayim represents the masses of the Jewish people. Where will God be king? For Olu Moshiim, Lishvatat Harayisav, V'haytala Hashem Amalucha, it's going to be from that mountain. Omer Letzion, he says to Tzion, Molech Alekayach, your God has become king. Kol Sofayich Nasu, Kol Yachtav Yiranenu, Kol Sofayich, those who are the lookout, Hatsofer, the one who looks out, the one who's standing on the wall, and he's looking out to see what's going to happen. They lift their voice together. They sing, "Why ki ayin ba ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion." Eye by eye means they are no longer going to see it in their mind's eye. They're no longer going to see it with their prophetic eye. They are now going to see it with their eye, because they're going to see the coming of the glory of the Rebbe Yisrael. Pitzku, open up your mouths, Ranenu Yardov, sing together, Chorvot Yerushalayim, you ruins of Yerushalayim, Ki Nicham Hashem Amo, because God has consoled His people, Go'al Yerushalayim, He has redeemed Yerushalayim. He will rule on Har Habayit, and He will redeem Yerushalayim. Chosaf Hashem et Zroa Kodesho, God has revealed His holy arm, le'enei kol ha'goyim, in the eyes of all of the nations. Ve'ro kol afsei oretz, all the very ends of the earth will see et Yeshuach Elokeinu, the salvation of our God. What a beautiful, beautiful psukim. I do want to give you, not homework, I don't give homework anymore. I think you're mature enough that you don't need homework. Maybe not. But it would be a good idea, during the few weeks we're going to be off now, just at least to read over the chapter, starting from chapter 35. From 35, just read. Suru, Suru, Tzumishava. I love this passage. Turn, turn, get out of there. Get out of there. Rashi says, Tzu, get out of where? Get out of where? Mitoch ha-galus, get out of the galus. Kol nechamot ha-elu ha-achronot, einon ela al-galut achron. Rashi now says that all of the consolation that we're going to hear now talks about the last galus. That's us. And the Navi is saying, Yudin, Raus from Golas, get out. Tomei al tigo. Don't touch the impurity of the Golad. So umi tochem, get out. Hiboru, cleanse yourselves. No say klei Hashem, the ones who are carrying the vessels of God. The ones who carry the vessels, he refers to the Kohanim who are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Get out. Come home. And then he says, this is a real takeoff on Yitziat Mitzrayim. Also, reminders of the Haggadah. Ki lo b'chitazon teitzeu. You are not going to go out with haste. U'b'minusa lo teilechun. You are not going to go because you're going to be pursued. Now, there's the one who runs, and then there's the one who is pursued until he comes to earth, so you're not going to have that problem. You know why you're not going to have that problem? Ki holech lifnechem Hashem, the one who goes before you is God. You're going to follow in his footsteps. U'ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael, the one who is behind you, the one who comes behind, so you don't have to run. See, the two parts to the pasuk. Not b'chitazon and not b'lulusa. Not b'chitazon because there's somebody in front who's keeping the pace. And you don't have to worry about somebody who is pursuing you because there is the ma'aseif. God is the ma'aseif. In Torah, dan is called ma'aseif l'chol ha-machanot. What else is a ma'aseif? The local bus, the last bus, you know? The bus that says on it ma'aseif. Because he picks up all the stragglers. He goes behind, the last one. The ma'aseif. Can you pick up a ma'aseif at the masof? Huh? Masof, how would you say that? That's we have in Haranoth, we have a masof. The terminal, the left, because it's the end of the line. Well, that's one way of looking at it. It's also the beginning of the line. Now, the next few psukim that I'm going to learn, I'm just going to read psukim, and this is the introduction to our next unit. Beginning with pasuk 13 is the perek of Eved Hashem, the suffering servant of God. Do those words do anything to you? Do they mean anything to you? Don't be afraid. Beginning with the next pasuk, there's going to be about a chapter, more than a chapter, that's going to talk about the suffering servant of God. And Christianity has simply lifted these psukim out of their context completely, and these psukim have become the great chapters of the suffering servant of God, and you're going to see psukim that are so amazing. He suffered for our sins. He died for our sins. He was taken like a sheep to the slaughter. I mean, they knew what to choose. But we have to learn these psukim and know what the Yeshayahu in fact mean. The Eben Ezra at this pasuk says, Zot ha-parsha kosha miyod. This parsha is very difficult. Omru bale pluktenu. Those who disagree with us said, Shehu remez le Eloheihem. This is a hint at their God. And everything in the parsha they have interpreted as talking about their God. That's not, believe me, that's not what Yeshayahu is talking about. The real suffering servant, in fact, turns out to be the Jewish people. And I'm afraid to say, I mean, I don't want to bring any, chas v'shalom, I'm not bringing a raya to Yeshayahu, but the Pope in his visit here, and in statements that he has made over the last number of years, has in fact been describing the suffering of the Jewish people at the hands of Christianity, and that's really what Yeshayahu is talking about, the suffering of the Jewish people at the hands not only of the Christians but Muslims. Let's read some of the psukim. Hine yaskil avdi. My servant will have great success. When will he have great success? The acharet hayamim, at the end of days. In other words, the pasuk begins by saying that my servant, and later will describe that this suffering servant is going to have great success. Yorum, be raised, misa lifted, the gavamaot, and very, very tall, very high. Gavoa represents, you know, the height of a tree, but the tree that Haman ate was gavoa hamishin ama. Now yorum and misa means not only that, but it's something that can keep rising even higher. Kasher shamamu alecha rabim. The word shamamu here means from wonder, amazement. Many were amazed by you. Kain mishchat meish mar'ehu. What were they amazed about? When they saw how lowly you were, that mishchat meish mar'ehu, his appearance was like a man who is destroyed. The toarom ibnei adam, his form is so different than all other men. You know, he has a hook nose. I don't know what else. He's just plain different. He looks different. He is different. This is what there's going to be an amazement that these people who seem to be so ugly and so suffering and so bad are ultimately going to rise to greatness. It's simply going to it's going to shake the world. Cain, Yazeg, Goyim, Rabim. You know what's going to happen now? While during history we were the ones who were dispersed by them, you know what's going to happen now? He's going to disperse many nations because he's going to rise in strength over them. All of Yikbitsu Melachim Pihem. Kings are going to close their mouths about them. The same kings who were able to open up their mouths in all of history to condemn them, to curse them, to blaspheme them, all of a sudden, silence. Ki ashelo supar lehem ro. You know why this dramatic change is going to take place in the relationship of the nations of the world to the Jewish people? Because something that they were never told, that they never anticipated, ro, they saw. Ki ashelo shamu, and that which they never heard of. Hidbononu, they now apprehend, they now comprehend, they now see it. They can't believe it. What are you talking about? These people were supposed to be ones who would be wandering the face of the earth forever. These are a people rejected by God who will never return to their own land. These are a people who are the filth of a world. And all of a sudden, they don't know what to do. They're confused. They're confused because all of a sudden they see these people growing and rising in strength. It's something they never heard of. It's something that they never imagined. And this is going to shake the nations of the world. By the way, this is clear that we have experienced this. This is the words of Yeshayahu. We have experienced them in our lifetime. The Rav in his great essay, Kol Dodi Dofeik, so he writes how one of the great messages of the establishment of the State of Israel was it threw the Catholic Church into an absolute theological quandary. The wandering people are not supposed to go home and build a state. And then when they got Yerushalayim, that was an even further blow. Why do you think the Church must continue to ask either for the internationalization of Yerushalayim or at least that the Christian holy sites should be under international rule? Theologically they must. They have to hold on to something that demonstrates that Jews don't have sovereignty over them, it's bad enough that they have sovereignty over Harnoth and Rechavia, but they can't have sovereignty over Christian holy sites. This is what we're seeing, that they can't understand it. They have been shaken theologically. The foundations of their beliefs, what they've been preaching for 2,000 years, has been shaken. We don't appreciate it because we haven't been living with that. But in other words, we've been suffering from it, but we haven't been living with those ideas. And that's what the Navi says. They're going to see things that they never heard. They're going to be thrown into confusion. Mi ha'amin l'shmu'atenu. Who would ever believe what we've heard? The nations of the world are saying, who can believe it? Take a look upon whom has been revealed the arm of God. These people that we held throughout history have been rejected by God. Now, the arm of God is revealed to them. God, he's on their side. He's on their side. This is shaking. Vayal kayonek lefanav. At first, vayal kayonek lefanav. He was like a child who was growing. V'chashodash me'edetz tzia, like a root that is coming out of dry, arid land. Lo to arlo, he didn't have form. V'lo hodar, and there was no beauty. This is the way they saw the Jewish people. V'lo mar'eh. V'lo mar'eh v'nechmadeyu. He didn't have anything about him that we should like. There was nothing about his appearance that we should like. You know what he was? Nivze. An embarrassment. Chadal ishim. Not even a human being. Lacking in human traits. Ish machovot. A man of pain. V'yadua choli. Ill. Who knows what kind of poison he puts into the wells. Who knows what kind of disease these Jews carry? By the way, you can see, of course, how they will take a pasuk like this, and they will explain that it means their God. Uchemaster ponim, uchemaster ponim mimenu. We would hide our faces from him. We didn't want to look at him. It was an embarrassment to look at him. Nivzeh. Nivzeh, second time in the world, he's ashamed. V'lo chashavnu. We never considered him of any importance. It was a nothing. It was a zero. It was a subhuman. And you know what we found out? Ochein chologenu hu nasa. He carried our illness. He suffered because we're sick. We made him suffer because we're sick. Umach ovenu, our pain, Sivalam. He carried that. He suffered our pain, the pain that we thrust upon him. Ba'anachnu chashavnu, and you know what we thought about him? Nogua, that he's plagued, muke Elohim, smitten by God, umu'une, and tortured. So how do they understand it? You know, they look at it as nobody really knew what this Yeshu was. But you know, I don't have to explain how they look at it. Forget it, huh?
Let's forget about them. I really like.
You're right. Except, of course, don't lose sight of the fact that not only the Ibn Ezra, but the Abarbanel and others, and we're going to see how they deal with. But you're right. We're going to read it the way I yid daf lein and very good, very good. I'm very agreeable today. V'hu mecholol mipisha'enu. He trembled. Mecholol comes from the word chil ura'oda. He trembled because of our sins. By the way, that we have heard.
We heard a week and a half ago in Eretz Yisrael. We heard it here. How do we understand it? No, we're the ones, the Goyim are saying that he, the Jewish people, no, this is where Yeshayahu was learning it. Who, the Jewish people, Micholau, trembles because of our sinfulness. We did it to them. The Goyim. It's the nations of the world who are all going to, sudden, at the end of days, they're going to see in Tzion, Molach HaLukayach. God rules in Tzion. Who is rising, Gavo Haram Venisa? The Jewish people. And then they chapsach bam kop and they said, this Jewish people, the one throughout all of history that we thought that they're nothing, they're subhumans, they are to be rejected, they're to be cast out. And now all of a sudden, you know what occurs to us at the Goyim, at this point in history, that we're guilty. He suffered and he trembled because of our sins. We let out our anger against him. He was innocent. The Jews, me. Yeshayahu is talking how the Goyim are going to look at the Jewish people. But again, I'll tell you passage 4. Ochein, but indeed we now see that the truth is Choloyenu hu nasa, he carried our illness. It was our sick minds that caused him to suffer. Umachovenu, the pain that we caused him, Zivolam, he tolerated it. You know why we did it? You know why we caused the Jew to suffer throughout history? Anachnu chashavnu, because you know what we thought about him? Do you know how we considered him? He's a nagua, plagued. He's mukeh Elohim, smitten by God. And mu'uneh, tortured, because he rejected God. Because he rejected Yeshu. This is completely different than the way the Goyim are talking about the ones who's suffering, the one who suffers, the suffering servant is Yeshu. But that's not what he's saying. V'hu mecholal, he, the Jewish people, trembles because of our sin, our burden of guilt. Meduka me'avonoteinu, he is dragged down because of our sins. Musar shlomeinu alav. And I can read here the Rashi in a way that will, I don't know whether Rashi meant it, but Rashi says, Bo alav yisudei hashalom, the suffering of peace came upon him. I don't know, that those are the words of Rashi. Bo alav yisudei hashalom, shahoyolanu, shehu hayomu usar, lihyot shalom lechol holam. Through his suffering, there would be peace to the whole world. Ubechaburato, and through his, a chabura is a wound, correct? Nirpolano, his wound was healing for us. Kulanu katzon ta'inu, we all made the mistake. We wandered like sheep. We were wrong. We made a mistake throughout all history. The way we looked at the Jewish people, what we did to them, we made a mistake. Ish ledarko paninu, each person went on his way. Vashem hivgia bo et avon kolanu, God brought out against him the sin of all of us. He carried the sins of history. This is the apology. This is the apology. Exactly. There's no question about it. We've heard these words. It's exactly what Yeshayahu said 2,500 years ago. Nigas. I think we better. Just this pasuk. Nigas. He was. You know the noksim. He was. He was beaten by the taskmasters, and he was tortured, and he didn't open his mouth. Like a sheep taken to the slaughter. Ukirachel, like a ewe, Lifnei gozezeha ne'eloma, before those who shave off her wool, is silent. Velo yiftach piv, and doesn't open his mouth. In silence. Bunchishvayk. Klal Yisrael remains silent. Remains silent. And it's only at the end of history. Are we in the period of the end of history? Are we in Yeshayahu mode today, or are we not in Yeshayahu mode? I want you all to have a chag kosher v'sameach. But it's taken the kishkes out of you. It takes the kishkes out of me, because there are chapters that just wipe me out. Very well put. Excuse me. One moment. The shir is not over. Retroactively, I want to tell you that this shir was dedicated in memory of Chana Leah Bas Yosef Olah Shalom. That's Kaylee Berger's mother. Today is her yard site. So we have this shir has been dedicated to her for that matter. The next shir will be... Oh, there she is. Oh, I didn't know you. I'm sorry. I got so much into the learning, even though I had it written in front of me. I didn't say it at the beginning of the shir, but the Rebbeinu Shalom will accept it. Ke'ilu was said at the beginning of the shir.